thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've been talking about this all day because I think it's that good. Tommy Curran, last night on Boston Sports Tonight, Town Fair Tire Boston Sports Tonight on NBC Sports Boston, discussing the Rob Gronkowski situation. And I guess he's asked, is he surprised or shocked that Gronkowski is really legitimately considering walking away?
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe, despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position. Starting to wear on him, physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Okay, again, a lot of layers there. Did not enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time. Speaking of Rob Gronkowski, it's starting to wear on him physically and mentally. So Tom did mention the physical part. I want to make sure about that because I've sort of glossed over that today. But anyway, it's starting to wear on Gronkowski. Physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England is starting to wear on him. Considered walking away last training camp. Last training camp, he kind of had it, said Curran. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't allow it. Again, this is directly related to the Guerrero issue. So Gronkowski and Brady have similar issues as it relates to Alex Guerrero. In terms of the team, principal players on the team, not happy with the atmosphere and climate. They still need to have a hell of an air clearing down there in Foxborough. What do you think, Murray?
Oh, I think Gronk has got a foot out the door, and this WWE thing is real, and the problems continue. And the other thing I'm thinking about is, because you mentioned it, we had forgot about it, like the kneeling aspect. One of the other players, when Tom mentions, I have to think is Devin McCourty, who's been pretty vocal the last couple of weeks, talking about the Super Bowl, supporting Malcolm Butler. And if you remember, after that game, so that was the game against the Texans, it was towards the end of September. After the game, he ended up wearing a t-shirt, too, that said, no place for hate, fascism, so on and so forth. After that, did you ever end up seeing... you know that Devin is one of the more conscious guys on that team. You know that he felt strongly about this thing, and in my mind, rightfully so. You didn't really see him speak up about that ever again. So obviously, Bill squashed all of that. Do you think he was comfortable with that?
So this is something I brought up earlier. Is this one of the layers down there that they have to work through? Is there still lingering resentment, wrong word, but whatever. You know, a lingering something there over the way the kneeling was handled. The players did it that first week. Pretty obvious that Bill didn't know what was coming. Brady didn't know what was coming. So the players sort of did it on their own. The owner supported them, but Bill never did. Never came close to supporting their actions. And then from there, from that point forward, they all stood. Not even a t-shirt was worn. Not a word was said. You basically could just tell. Bill told them to shut the F up and stand up. And how did that rub certain players?
The reason I bring it up is I think it's more than, you know, the Brady Gronk thing. I think there's other players there when Tom mentions that. McCourty to me has got to be one of them.
And now they sit Butler down and cost him the Super Bowl. So Bill, by the way, I'm with Bill on almost all these things. I don't mind the way Bill handled the kneeling thing. I don't mind. I don't mind that at all. Because it all goes back to the same place. He's in charge, not the players. That's the culture and atmosphere that he had from day one. I think it's important down there. So, again, I'm with him, but...
He was in charge.
I do think that the players... I think there's some issues there with the players, yeah, I do. And coming off of a Super Bowl loss versus a Super Bowl victory changes that dynamic.
The other thing, too, is I think there's something else you can read into this last Gronkowski tweet from now 8 hours ago. After hearing that sound from Tom Curran last night on BST, it reads, it's a team effort with family and friends at Mojo Rawley, and he has this whole thing about trying to promote Mojo Rawley, his buddy in the WWE. But it's a team effort... with family, obviously, the Gronks, Gronk Inc., and friends like Mojo Rawley. Not the Patriots. Anyone else? I don't know. I think that this is kind of a shot. I think it's also a sneaky shot
Okay, I think Murray's right.
So let's give you one more. Give me the Jeff Daniels thing from Providence today.
Oh, Mark Daniels, yeah.
Mark Daniels, I'm sorry. Mark Daniels told an interesting story about him wanting to write about Rob Gronkowski and the TB12 method this year. And
yeah, the Patriots also didn't want me to write a story on Gronk doing the TB12 diet and working with Guerrero. Gronk agreed to talk to me about his new diet. When the Patriots found out, they told me it couldn't happen. But since Gronk really wanted to talk about it, he did. In the end, I still got a 1,400-word feature out of it, but it was annoying how the Patriots tried to stop the story.
Why are you shaking your head and scoffing, Maz?
Because the Patriots tried to stop it because Guerrero was getting too much power. And, you know, it's bad enough that Brady's going to him and luring guys over there. Now we're going to have Gronk come out, too, publicly, and lure more guys over there. Now we're going to have a full-fledged controversy with regard to how Alex is taking care of players versus how our training staff is taking care of players. And we can't get these guys healthy and on the field, and we can't get them on the same page. And that's going to drive Bill crazy.
I'm still with Bill.
So listen, I'm not telling you Bill's wrong. Look, go back to the Guerrero thing. Guerrero never should have been in the locker room. This was Bill's mistake from the beginning, allowing him to come in. Big mistake. Once you do that, now you get someone else, you know, preaching one thing, and you know, now you get two philosophies in there, and you have all kinds of battles.
And other players say, well, let me bring in my guy.
Yes, it creates this whole issue, especially if he's going around to other players and saying, come with me, because what they're doing is wrong. Like, that's a recipe for disaster in any locker room. Any locker room, that's a recipe for disaster. But then you're going to allow it for Brady and not allow it for someone else? And Brady's been empowered by ownership because Garoppolo's now gone. Like, Bill's got a problem in there. And again, I go back to the Super Bowl and the way they lined up behind Butler.
Oh, it's very telling.
Told you that. They didn't believe, and you know, they were on the player's side. They were publicly standing behind Butler and not Bill, which to me is stunning. When do you ever see that down there? You never see that.
I mean, Brady could not have liked or thumbed up or whatever he did there on Instagram. He could not have been quicker.
It went up, and it felt like within 20 seconds, like, bang, I like it.
I mean, so Bill, this is what I, you know, when we talked about it at the time, Bill's got some fences to mend with the players on his team. And the leaders on his team.
But if he's that...
Hightower, Gronk, Brady, McCourty. Like, those guys are the nucleus of your team. If you've lost them, the other guys are going to line up behind those leaders.
But if
those are your captains.
If Bill's that big of a hardhead and isn't going to have that come-to-Jesus moment with those players like that, wouldn't it stand to reason that he would want Gronk gone, despite all his talent?
I think if it were up to Bill, he was ready to turn the page on the whole
shmageggy.
You know, and if you know what? It would have been the right thing. It would have been a Don kind of move. It would have been a badass move that we'd all say, typical Patriots. They, you know, they stuck to their principles. It got to the end, and instead of hanging on with aged players who are still at the top of their game, but they're getting older, they're getting entitled, they're not the future. Instead of that, they were one step ahead once again, and they moved on from the quarterback, and they cashed in assets there, and they went with the next guy, and they moved on from the players who were getting too big for their britches, and they cashed in, and they have a boatload of draft picks and a good young quarterback, and they're extending this thing another 10 years, and that would have been a badass approach. And again, I don't blame them for not doing it, because that means you're trading Tom Brady, which is really, really hard to do and a hard ask. I'm not asking them to do that. I'm just saying, if they were consistent with everything else that they had done, that's how they would have approached it. And they would have wiped the slate clean and said, you guys, you can take you and your trainer somewhere else. We're going to take all the draft picks and go forward with Garoppolo and see you later.
So you know that chaps his ass. And so the other thing that I think is now in play is if he's mad about, you know, the owners continually giving Brady everything that he wants, if they do it to Gronk, they rip up the contract, they give him a new deal, make him as highly paid as, you know, Antonio Brown or something like that. It's still, I think it's in play that Bill walks. Oh, are you going to do it for another guy now, too? You're going to go over my head?
Okay, so that's what we're discussing today. Your reaction right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 The Sports
Hub. This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, you know, he was pissed. And the season played out. And by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing
at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I've been calling your station since the story broke. I actually worked for WWE for about 8 years, and I know how Vince works. And I've actually talked to a couple of people that still work for the company. They can offer so much more than what you guys are talking about. They have their own production company. They have their own film company. They have their own television network. Yeah, by the way, they own a football league, which he could get a percentage of. From what I'm told, his salary wouldn't be near what he would make in the NFL, but they would give him 60% of all merchandising, stock options, because they are a publicly traded company. There's a lot of layers to this. Oh, and if he wants to have fun, by the way, I traveled with these guys for a really long time. You want to talk about having fun? They only work for a couple of hours a day, I promise you that. And the rest of the time, you know, they hit the gym. They got to stay looking nice. He would have to hit the gym. Because now all the guys are going to be bigger.
Yeah, what? You think that bothers him?
No, he likes the gym.
Man lives there. No, the earning chance, I mean, right. So in the next couple of years, he can't make as much as he would in the NFL. He's not going to make 15 a year doing, in entertainment. No one said that. But the question is, over the next 30, what is a chance to make more money? And that one's not even close. It's more in entertainment. And to maximize his entertainment career, doesn't it behoove him to get there sooner rather than later? Versus waiting 3 or 4 years, maybe he's broken down at that point. He's not even really the Gronk. So that's the whole play. The long-term play is in entertainment. And you want to hit the ground running when you're at your height, and he's at his height. And, you know, Jimmy Stewart, again, who's very tapped into the wrestling community as well, more than our caller, I would say. But, you know, Jimmy said Gronk could make a couple million bucks just in this run-up to WrestleMania right now. Between the thing that he was promoting the other day with the No Limits. What's it called again?
The event is called Fastlane.
Fastlane, which is coming in a week.
12 days.
Which is like a run-up to WrestleMania, which is in April. And between all the stuff that Gronk... I mean, this tweet storm is all just a promotional campaign for the wrestling stuff. I mean, I think we can all acknowledge that now.
Sure.
And if he appears in a couple of these run-up events and then appears at WrestleMania, that's a couple million bucks for 6 weeks. So, like, that's there. That's there for him.
I mean, you know, hell, they could do a Gronk cartoon show. Like, he'd be perfect for that.
Perfect. He is a cartoon. I say it with all the love and respect in my heart, but that's what he is. Jim in Connecticut has a Red Sox thought. Hi, Jim.
Yes. My thought is that the Red Sox have a lot of players and more players than positions. For instance, as a catcher, they have three catchers, and Blake Swihart is out of options. So what are they going to do there?
All right, so Swihart, Jim, thanks for the call. Mass has a certain thing across his ass about Blake Swihart.
Yes, Blake Swihart is out of options, which means he makes the team or he gets put on waivers and someone else will grab him. Okay? And so if they keep someone like Brock Holt over Blake Swihart, you should stop watching. Seriously.
It feels strong.
Okay, but think of all the people they have in the system now, and I use Holt for a specific reason. He's a little bit of a fan favorite, right? Everyone loves sort of the grindy little guy, you know, grinding little guy. But look at all the guys they have at second base now. With Pedroia out, Nunez, Zue Lin. Like, they got all these options in there. They got the guy from Mexico in camp. They've talked about playing Swihart there. Do they really need to keep Brock Holt?
So
bye-bye.
But, you're telling me off the air something that's far more relevant. I don't care about the positions. Who has more upside?
Yes, who's got the bigger upside? Swihart's 25. He's still just 25.
And he's never really gotten a chance.
No, he's had all kinds of issues because they put him in left field. They screwed up his ankle. He wasn't right last year. Then he hurt his hand, I think, catching or got hit by a pitch or something. He missed a ton of time. And he right now is a story of camp. Okay, they're only a week in, but he's had a great start. He's hitting 600, like, you know, 6 for 10 or whatever to start, blah, 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 blah. But to me, you got to keep Swihart. Now, the too many players for not enough positions? Please. You can never have enough. Ever, ever, ever. And so they'll figure it out. Someone will get hurt. There'll be all kinds of issues. I'm not the least bit worried about getting everybody enough playing time. I am worried about keeping the best players, and Swihart should stay.
Okay, I got some Bruins calls on the board. We will service you because we're here for everybody. Ron in Newburyport, go. Yeah, I did it. We finally did it, Maz.
Ron, you there?
No, don't wake him up.
That's a lie.
Shh.
Let's see if we can work Belichick into it. Yeah. Decided to not play Malcolm. Was a coach's decision.
I'm going to put him on hold.
There's no way that's real.
Brian in the car. Go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Just thinking about the Bergeron injury. He's a tough player. Like, you obviously know he plays through everything. But I think them finding that hairline fracture or whatever it is just a way to figure out how these new guys are going to work in the system that they have.
And, oh, I don't believe that. You don't put him on the shelf so you can get in Tommy Wingles. You put him on the shelf because he's got a little injury, and why risk it here down the stretch?
Yeah, exactly. But then you can see how you can place these other guys in, how they work better with the players that we have.
Okay, silver lining. Silver lining, if you want. You're not sitting your best player on your Hart Trophy candidate, so you could see Brian Jonta float around out there. Would you stop? In that case, you sit Tim Schaller. And a lot of guys, you'd sit before Bergeron if you want to work in one of those guys. Well, I think there's a commentary on our show, Maz. Let's see how Ron in Newburyport's doing.
Hey, Mike. Hi, Tony. How you doing, Jim?
Ron, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. How you feeling, pal?
All right. Sorry, I dozed off.
No, that's okay, man. That happens. That's, you know, sorry about that. That's our fault.
All right. My question is, how's it going to impact the Bruins for the next 2 weeks where they don't have a Bergeron, they're not going to have another center? Is that why they traded for that fourth center from Chicago?
Okay, Ron, thank you for the call again. It's our fault, not yours. We put you to sleep.
Maybe he was really asleep.
Oh, he was really asleep. That was real. There's no question that was real.
Billy picked him up and woke him up.
Oh, why'd you do that? What are you doing, Billy?
I told him to.
Don't wake him up.
I wanted to see if he could try.
Well, why would you try and wake him up? That was going to be on the air.
Did we record that? Yeah, Ron, it's Billy. Wake up.
I wanted to see how many times it would take to wake him up.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Did Billy scream at Billy? What'd you say? Did you go, hey, Ron, Billy, what'd you do to wake him up?
Yelled.
What'd you
I
yell?
Said, Ron. Hey, Ron. Ron, are you awake? Yeah. Hello. Ron, you awake? Yeah. All right. Well, let me get you back on hold.
Yeah, Ron, you awake? Are you? Because you're snoring.
See, I don't think you should have done that. You just let him go.
It's I do. It was funnier.
What do you want to talk about, Ron? Wake up, Ron. What do you want to talk about? Where are you from?
Here's Patrick. Pat in New Hampshire. Go.
Yes. Hi, Mike. Hi, Tony. I know, Mike, you're... and I agree with you that Guerrero is a snake oil salesman.
Yes.
But isn't advising a guy with a broken back to not put 400 pounds on his back pretty good advice?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Here's what I know, is that I want the team... the team has the right to say, we determine the rehab, we determine the training methods. You know, that's our call, not your individual guy's call. That's what I believe.
Yeah, but if it's wrong... Isn't it okay to go with somebody else's advice?
Well, see, what's right and what's wrong? I mean, whose definition are you using?
I mean, maybe he'd been cleared to lift weights. Wait a minute. I'd say maybe. Of course he was cleared to lift weights.
You know how many different opinions there are on health and fitness and how to train and how to rehab? Like, everyone's got all the answers. Everyone's got a different method and thinks everyone else is stupid. So, you know, it's right according to who? And that's the problem. That's why I think the team has the right to, you know, it's really dangerous when you let your players start using other guys who say, well, what the team is doing is not good for you. Like, that's again, an invitation for chaos.
Well, especially when that guy is the quarterback's guy. So now, again, who's running the medical staff, the coach or the quarterback? Like, so, you know, to me, this comes back to Brady versus Bill. Like, you know, who ultimately has power and who doesn't? And it feels to me like it shifted to Brady. Bill got pissed. And he pulled the plug on Guerrero and said, this is too much. It's gone too far. And so, no, you're undermining the medical staff and that's it. And now you've got a thing.
Okay, so there was another signing over the weekend that no one really knows, barely went across anyone's radar, except for one person. One person saw a Patriot signing over the weekend and, well... it rubbed him the wrong way. Okay? So that's one piece to this. There's another piece to it. This individual was working on a Saturday. I don't think he wanted to work on a Saturday. There's another piece to it. He started getting chirped on Twitter, and I don't think he liked being chirped on Twitter.
Who does?
So he took it out on the show. Not his show, by the way.
Someone else's show. That is great. I got to try that.
Took it out on the show, took it out on the Patriots, took it out on his co-host, and took it out on the people of Boston. I listened to this on Saturday afternoon, and I felt it was gold. So I'm going to bring this to you right after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're going to play some sound from Adam Jones, who is the Dark Knight. He is the sports buzzard. You think we are negative? You think we troll? We agitate? Nothing. No, we are minor league. We are the Manchester Fisher Cats compared to Adam Jones and his negativity and his brand of going after the Patriots and their fans.
Would you call him yesterday the professor of dark magic?
He is just the Dark Knight. Okay? So he's special in terms of this. He's been paired with Nick Cattles, who you may not be, just returned to the station. Nick Cattles is really quite the opposite. He's quite a homer. He is. I don't know who has better Celtics gear, him or Nick Cattles. They both come with these great Celtics starter jackets.
Oh, it's me.
Okay. But either way, Nick also is someone who thinks he takes himself seriously and he's into this thing. He's saving sports talk radio one take at a time. He views himself as sort of a responsible sports talk host, and he's not into bait or to troll. It's a higher calling, a little bit of a higher calling. And again, he's a homer on top of it. So that's why those two are so interesting together, is that
it's
really
oil and water.
Okay. So on Saturday, it turns out this is the Nick Cattles show. Here's a Nick Cattles show promo.
Informed, but opinionated, passionate, yet fun. Join in on the phones at 617-779-0985. Tweet us at NickC985 or text at 69985. The Nick Cattles Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Simple. Informed. He's informed. He's informed. Passionate but fun. I'm not here to troll you, but we're still passionate and fun. Or there's like, and then there was even a promo that I heard that directly plays off, this is Nick Cattles, not the a-hole that you have to hear every night from 7 to midnight.
What happens when you spend your entire work week with the Dark Knight, Adam Jones?
The ultimate evil.
You embrace the light on the weekend. The Nick Cattles Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So here comes the light. Here comes a higher calling, a more informed brand of sports talk where I'm not going to troll you, I'm not going to bait you. And I guess Nick Cattles has the week off, and who do they fill in? Who do they put in his spot?
Jones.
Here comes Jones. So the Patriots re-signed Brandon Bolden. Okay, the running back who does nothing but cover punts, okay, which is sort of odd, and like we don't think it makes any sense, and we could care less, but Jones thinks it's ridiculous, and he tweeted it out, and he lost his mind on the Brandon Bolden re-signing, where he starts going back and forth with Zoe and Matt Chatham on Twitter, and so on the very show, the very day part, where we don't troll, we don't bait, it's informed. And we're not here to, like, Nick Cattles is just the kind of guy that will tell you how smart Bill is to clear cap space for a guy like Brandon Bolden and how they manage their team so well that they can have a Brandon Bolden. Here comes Adam Jones to take a steaming deuce on Brandon Bolden.
You know, people start chirping me. Well, it's less than 1% of the salary cap, Jones. And he's a great special teamer, Jones. And it's really good running back depth, Jones. To which I say, how do you know? Like, how do you know? Like, I'm not telling you I can sit here and evaluate talent better than anyone else. I'm not telling you I'm a great evaluator of talent. I'm not the next Bill Belichick. I'm not Vince Lombardi. I do tend to appreciate the people out there who are lecturing me now on how great of a special teamer Brandon Bolden is. Like, you know.
This was not what Nick Cattles had in mind on his show.
Somewhere
Nick Cattles is sitting there listening to this, like, whoop, smoke is coming out of his ears.
Like, how do you know?
No!
Like, how do you know?
So he also starts talking about Matt Chatham, who's...
Like, you know.
Special teams. The importance of... You know, the real Patriot toady will tell you about how important special teams are, and they're a third of the game, and Bill's so smart for carving out salary cap space and the roster space for special... Listen to the steaming dump Jones takes on special teams.
It's never was a third of the game. It's three phases of the game. Three phases, Jones. Your offense, your defense, and your special teams. No, it was never three phases. They've never been equal, and they're even less equal now.
Okay, so takes a dump on special teams. Then poor Sarge. Sarge is reading the headlines, and his co-host here, Sarge, makes the mistake of interjecting the fact that maybe the special teams coach wanted to keep Brandon Bolden.
This is my favorite part.
Poor Sarge here.
Well, there's something to consider here, what you haven't brought up. The fact that Joe Judge, who is back, who they kind of had to retain as the special teams coach. Do you think he had some sort of a say here?
No.
I think he may have.
You think the special teams coach is calling the shots
if
on guys that are re-signing?
Guy saying, you want me to
I
stay?
Hope to God
I want
not.
The guys that I'm going to be working with.
So now, Bill's getting bossed around by Brady and Kraft and the special teams coach?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't say
oh
bossed
God.
Around. But I would not be going against the fact that he may have had a say. Like, listen, you want me to stay here? I'm going to want the guys on my squad. So listen, give me Brandon Bolden back and make a deal with them. Short money. Why not?
Do you know how many guys can do that on short money? Do you know how many guys can be special teamers?
Listen,
you got him back there.
Very lucky. He almost went to Indianapolis with Josh McDaniels.
Who?
Joe Judge.
I was talking about Brandon Bolden. I don't care if they lose Joe Judge. That doesn't bother me one bit.
Well, he's obviously valuable.
Who cares
to the
if
team?
They lose the special teams coach?
He's valuable to the team.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
The best part of that is the first.
No. Well, no. He keeps going. Five, please.
Four. Guy that's going to retire.
So no. To answer your question, no.
Yes.
I hope Joe Judge isn't calling shots.
I think that had a part
now,
of it.
Now
think
Bill Belichick
that.
Is getting overruled by Robert Kraft on Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady's calling all the shots behind the scenes.
Influence.
And Joe Judge.
Influence
Where's
by Joe
Bill
Judge.
Belichick on the actual list of roster calls now in your
well,
mind?
Well, he signs everything.
Is he top 10 on the Patriots? Is he top 10 in making a roster call?
Again, somewhere Nick Cattles is saying, No.
This is the Nick Cattles show.
But even poor Sarge, I was driving home listening to this. I was like, I think this is actually the definition of bullying.
No, this is talk radio terrorism.
What happens when you spend your entire work week with the Dark Knight, Adam Jones?
The ultimate evil.
You embrace the light on the weekend. The Nick Cattles show, 98.5, the sports hub.
No, not this Saturday. You don't let Jones fill in for Cattles.
He walked in after me. I'm like, what are you doing here? Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Brandon Bolden.
So then he starts going after Zoe and Chatham on Twitter, because Zoe and Chatham on Twitter apparently support the Brandon Bolden signing.
Zoe, great deal.
It's short money, though.
Matt Chatham. It's a who cares deal. Matt Chatham. Obviously, it's a great deal. Aye. Me and Miguel, Pat's cap, going back and forth. Miguel, Vince Lombardi, Pat's cap out there, breaking down the impact of the special teamer on this roster. It's like, aye. I got to argue with somebody from Pat's pulpit has been arguing with me. I got Evan Lazar jumping into my Twitter's feed. Like, what's going on? Over Brandon Bolden? This is what we're doing? Matt Chatham, obviously it's a great deal.
I don't know. It's close enough.
This is what we're doing?
He did get one in on Sarge. He did get one in on Sarge. Six, Jimmy.
Have you watched Tom versus Time, Sarge?
Of course. I'm in the first two episodes.
You see? Good point.
Yeah, suck on that, Jones.
What a stupid question by me.
You gave me a
softball.
Sorry,
you're the star of Tom versus Time. So, I forgot about that.
Of course, Jones has to turn it then into mocking him. No, you're not. You're now the star of Tom v. Time.
Of course, I'm in the first two episodes.
Take that, Jones. Suck on that. Sarge was in the first two episodes. But it was an entree now into Jones to launch into this whole other thing about that he sort of alluded to there about the reason Bolden's here is because now Brady calls all the shots, not Joe Judge. Brady's calling all the shots, and it includes this, and you can see it in the Tom v. Time with the way he talks to McDaniels. Now he goes into this whole spiel.
Oh, you might be right.
The
way he talks about Josh McDaniels in that, it's like Brady and McDaniels run the show on offense. He doesn't even talk about Belichick. When's Belichick going to make an appearance? McDaniels has made multiple appearances in the thing.
Good point.
So listen to the way he talks about McDaniels in that. He makes it sound like it's Brady or himself and McDaniels, rather, who run the offense. That's it. Like, Bill has no say in the offense. If you were dropping in and watching Tom versus Time, that's what you're led to believe. So McDaniels is back, and his buddy Brandon Bolden is back. To which Tucker Silva asked me, our producer today, he goes, well, are they boys? How do you know that? I just Googled quickly. I just know I've read this before. And I pulled up a quote from a Mike Reese story from Brady. Brady called Patriots running back Brandon Bolden one of the best teammates I've ever had. So selfless. He's got the best personality. And he's the most positive person. He'll be a friend the rest of my life. A friend the rest of his life, Sarge.
There we go. So now Brady's calling the shot on Bolden, which I'm actually with him on.
It seems to make some sense.
Does make sense.
Mm.
You're all in on Brady. Oh, so where do we go from here? So this is a good one. So I think Jones was pissed about having to work on a Saturday to begin with. And then he gets chirped on Twitter by Zoe and Chatham because of the special teamer signing. And he just, you know, he's on the Nick Cattle show, which to me is still the richest part of the whole thing. Because Nick Cattles would rather stick his face, I don't finish the sentence, on a steaming hot poker.
Oh my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
He'd rather stick needles in his eyes. He'd rather commit harikari than do this to Bill Belichick that Jones does. Next.
It's like the blind Belichick sheep just baaing to their god about, you can't question Bill. He's got the 5 Super Bowls, Jones. Actually, it's 7 Super Bowls. He named the boat 7 rings. It's 7 rings. How many do you have, Jones? I have none. I have none. I also wasn't the one who benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl like a bozo, but I have no rings. So what do I know? You're right. I don't know anything. How many rings do you have out there driving around? Probably none. So what? Your opinions are invalid as well? I don't know what to tell you.
See, this was not in Cattles' plan. That was not going to be the show.
No, definitely not.
He was not going to mock Patriots fans for being sheep at Bill Belichick's feet and buying into the microphone.
I want to hear the sheep imitation again. I want to hear that again. That was so good. Do it again. Do
bah!
It again. Ah, that is so great.
Bah!
I love when he imitates the person, the mythical person that's yelling at him. Because there's always like wild
gesticulations.
Thank you. He's moving around like a nut every time he's doing
it. Just buying. Bah.
Oh, that is brilliant. That one in the part where Sarge is going on about Joe Judge. You don't think that Joe Judge is important?
No.
Why, yes, why, oh, no, why, no, why, yes.
Oh, God, that is so good.
So then poor Sarge tries to read the Gronk tweet. So they're on the air when the original Gronk tweet comes out. This whole thing's like, this is brilliant.
This is something.
This is so much better than the Nick Cattle show. I can't even begin to tell you. Nick would tell you how smart they are for clearing out cap room for Brandon Bolden at the bottom of the roster. And bore your face off for 2 hours on that. Instead, we get this. Instead, we get Jones yelling at Sarge when he can't read the Gronk tweet.
And here you go. New at this hour, Rob Gronkowski tweeting out moments ago, quote, "Foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will be not just... Let me say it again.
Yeah, please do.
And your destiny will be not just be reached. It will be starting. And your destiny will be not just be reached. It will just...
Yeah, just whatever. We got it. So, yeah. Did Gronk open a fortune cookie and just tweet it out?
Poor Sarge.
I thought he was having a stroke. I was like, what's happening here?
No, so sorry.
You hear Jones getting frustrated.
What was up Jones's tailpipe on Saturday?
Sarge got caught in the shrapnel.
And your destiny will be not just be reached. It will... Just
whatever. We got it. So, yeah.
So
they
picked it up in the second. Skip to number 11, Jimmy. Just skip 10. Go to a number 11 because they circle back.
Let me read it for the people.
Go ahead. Read it for the people.
Sarge, before we get to your hot take on Gronk.
Turn the lights on.
Big league tease from Sarge. Mm-hmm. Rob Gronkowski again. Apparently out for Chinese food at the Kowloon or wherever else. Opened a fortune cookie and left out the magic numbers. Foresee your own future. Control your own temptations, and your destiny will not just be reached, it will just be starting.
Now read that word for word, please.
I'm not going to read it word for word. I know what he meant.
Trouble.
I just figure it out. I
will
know what he meant.
Will be not just be reached, he said.
Don't confuse the people.
Oh, my God.
This guy's a real beaut.
That is priceless.
Then poor Sarge. I know this is a lot, but I just...
No, keep going.
Just indulge me.
I do. I love this.
Poor Sarge. So Sarge had I don't think it's that bad, but what Gronkowski and McMahon really have in mind, what they're really going to do, Jones wasn't really having it.
Why doesn't he just wrestle and act? Why does he have to be commissioner of the XFL?
No,
why is that something he wants to do?
Parlay. Why wouldn't you? You can get in the ring, maybe
because that's more work.
3-4 times a year, that's nothing. You don't have to. He doesn't need to be in there every week. He's a name. He's a well-known
guy. What are you talking about?
I'm saying parlay. Part of it WWE, and then full-time commissioner of the XFL.
But why do you want to be full-time commissioner of the XFL?
Why
not just
wouldn't
part-
he?
Well, you're not listening.
He's not on the field.
You're not listening. Why
I
not
am.
Just part? Why not just part-time wrestle and part-time act? Why do you have to be full-time commissioner? Why waste your time and fill your schedule with that?
Because he's under contract with
like,
Vince.
That seems like a burden. That seems like an annoyance.
Because he's under contract with Vince.
I think Sarge is just trying to say it's wrestling part of it, and then he still is involved in football.
Thank you.
I think that's what the parlay is.
He's right. There you go.
So he's still the commissioner of a football league.
Yeah.
And that gives him his football fix?
Sure.
Doing paperwork?
Oh, my God. He was such a dink.
Oh, it was just so tremendous. Again, number 8, Jimmy.
Wonder if he had a fight with his girlfriend or something.
This was not the intent of the Nick Cattle show. That
his
was
wife.
Not. Number
it's
8.
Like,
yeah. Go ahead.
It's like the blind Belichick sheep just buying to their god about you can't question Bill. He's got the 5 Super Bowls, Jones. Actually, it's 7 Super Bowls. He named the boat 7 rings. It's 7 rings. How many do you have, Jones? I have none. I have none. I also wasn't the one who benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl like a bozo, but I have no rings. So what do I know? You're right. I don't know anything. How many rings do you have out there driving around? Probably none. So what? Your opinions are invalid as well? I don't know what to tell you.
It's just so priceless for me. It's just because then the promo is after listening to this a-hole all week, you get Nick come into the light with Nick Cattles. And then you go.
What happens when you spend your entire work week with the Dark Knight, Adam Jones?
The ultimate evil.
You embrace the light on the weekend. The Nick Cattles Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So here comes the light. Nope, it's Jones again. Taking a steaming dump over every Patriots fan in the listening audience. I just can't tell you how much I appreciated that.
It's just my God.
It's you should play the last one, too. Cut 13.
Sure, might as well. Jones, overall, so, like, I'm sure he starts seeing on Twitter, like, Jones, you're overreacting to Gronkowski. Jones, you don't know what you're talking about on Gronkowski. He's coming back. It's all obviously, he saw something like that on Twitter because he couldn't help himself.
If he's actually thinking deeply, that's scary. If he's actually using his brain and thinking deeply and not just showing up and lifting weights and doing push-ups and housing protein drinks, that's a bad sign for his football future. That's what I would say.
Oh, my gosh.
On and on, it's tremendous.
He lost his mind.
That's great.
That's going to be a drop forever.
Felger and Maz.